Today she's Masechta Zvachim Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Beis, Amud Beis, 13 lines from the bottom. We're still in the middle of the Mishnah that discusses the various halachas, particularly the halachas about the bamas, what's mutter on a bama, what's asur on a bama, what's mutter when bamas amut, when were bamas mutter, when were bamas asur. Says the Mishnah, Kolak Doshim, Shigdishim b'shasis are bamas. If somebody was magdish carbon when bamas were prohibited, for krivon b'shasis bam b'chutz, and then he takes that carbon, and instead of bringing it on the Beis HaMikdash, he brings it outside the Beis HaMikdash, b'chutz. That is the classical case that we have been discussing. We are such an individual, harayel b'esev lois asay, he's over mitzvah asay, he's over mitzvah lois asay, and furthermore, if chas v'shalom, he did this aveira b'mezid, he's chayv alof karis, he's chayv karis. However, says the Mishnah, Higdisha b'shas hetera bamas, he was magdished to be animal when bamas was still permitted, and then before he had an opportunity to be makriv that behema, v'krivim b'shas isra bamas v'chutz, he brings the carbon on a bama, now, but when bamas already now prohibited, harei elu be'esev loisasei, he's still over mitzvah asei and mitzvah loisasei, however, en chayov malakaris. If he does b'mezid, he's not chayiv kares for such an aveira. Interesting shaila along the same lines that the Mefarshim debate. What happens if somebody shechts a behema, b'shas, het to bamas, but between the shechit and the halah, bamas became osur. The Beis HaMikdash was erected. What will be his status? Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Gdisha Mishas Issa Bamas, when he was magdish to Behemoth, he was magdish when Bamas were prohibited. Ve'higdishon, ve'krivan, but he delayed in being makrivit until ve'krivan b'shas heter Bamas, when he was makrivit b'shas heter Bamas b'chutz. So the aloch is harayel el be'esay. He shouldn't bring it there because since he was magdashit, where bamas were asur. However, there's no kares, and says the Mishnah, not only is there no kares, but furthermore, Embar and Loisa say there's not even a lav. Continues the Mishnah, Ve'el kachim krivim in Mishkan. The following kachim are brought to the Mishkan. Kachim shugdushul Mishkan. Two pshatim in karbanas shugdushul Mishkan. One is kabbalas that may only be brought in the Mishkan, as we've learned and continue to learn, not all kabbalas could be brought on a bama. And another pshat is kabbalas that when the person designated the carbon, he said he specifically wants to bring it in the Mishkan. Kabbalas tzibur may only be brought kreim in the Mishkan, even when bamas are permitted, you can only bring them in the Mishkan. Gilgal noy v'givayin. The kabbanas a yachid, carbon yachid, could be brought the bama. Says the Mishnah, kabbanas a yachid, shogdishul mishkan, even if it's a carbon yachid, but the person said he specifically wants to bring it in the Mishkan, is the aloch is yikrivu the Mishkan, so he has to fulfill his obligation. However, the mikrivu the bama, if he didn't do what he was supposed to bring it in the Mishkan, he brought it in the bama, since now it's a time with bamas a mutter, and it's the kind of carbon that's mutter on a bamar, he'll be potter. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, Mabim bamas yachad bamas tzibur. What are the specific halachas that differentiate them? Smicha, a many kabbanas smicha is required, only when it's brought on bamas tzibur, or in the mizbeach, not on a bamas yachad. Shechit is tzofen, kachim have to be brought, the shechit has to be with tzofen, not by a bama. Mat and soviv, we know that most kabbanas require the blood to be applied. Shtaim shen arba. Tenufa. Many kabbanas require tenufa. Tenufa means that you have to wave it. The chaz v'shoik of the carbon shlomim, for example. Hagosha. By carbon mincha, the halach is that the carbon has to be put next to the southwest corner of the mizbeach. It's only by bama sibur. Rabbi Yehudaimer, ein mincha b'bama. There is no carbon mincha brought on a bama at all. We'll discuss this later in our parakim, Mitzvah Shem. The Kiyun, the halach is that on a Bamas Seber, only Kahanim may do the Avodah, a Bamas Yachid, even a Yisrael. Interesting discussion amongst the Achroinim. When we say even a Yisrael is allowed to do the Avodah on a Bamas Yachid, does that include women? Big Day Sharis, the halach is that the Kahanim on a Bamas Seber, the Avodah can only be done by Kahanim. They have to be wearing the Big Day Kahuna. The Kli Sharis, they have to be doing, they have to do the Avodah out of the Kli Sharis. For Reich Nichoyach, the halach is that the carbon has to be brought to be a pleasing aroma to Hashem. So therefore the halach is, for example, a carbon oila that has to be completely burnt on the Mizbeach. One would not be allowed to roast the animal prior to being makrivit on the Mizbeach, because the roasting, l'shem Hashem, l'shem a pleasing aroma, l'shem a reich nechoich v'Hashem, is part of the Avodah. U'mechitz l'damim, we discussed many times in our Masechta, that there was a chuta sikra, there was a line dividing the top and the bottom of the Mizbeach. Certain kabbanas, the blood is applied in the upper half. Certain kabbanas, the blood is applied to the lower half. That is only by the Mizbeach, not by Bamas Yochid. Richot Yudayim Reglayim, that the kohen before he does the Avodah has to be Richot Yudayim Reglayim from the Kiyur. That's only by a Bamas Seber. Aval Hazman, the halacha, that if somebody has a Machsheves, Chutz Lazmanoi, when he brings the carbon becomes pigle, or that there's a time by which you may not eat the carbon, and if the carbon was left past that time, it becomes nicer. Or v'hatame, the Rishonim give numerous explanation to what tame means. Some say it means that someone whose tame may not do the avoida, someone whose tame may not eat kachim, kachim that are tameim may not be eaten. These halachas concludes our Mishnah, Ashavim Zebezeh, applied both by Abamas Tzibur and by Abamas Yochid, and certainly by the Mizbeach. We began the Mishnah yesterday, that the Mishnah said that if the Parah Aduma was brought Chutz Megita in the wrong place, it's not the right thing to do, obviously, but the halachas of Allah's Chutz do not apply. Ask the Gemara, what does the Mishnah mean when it says that the Parah Aduma was brought Chutz Megita? Says Rish Lakish, Chutz Mimakam Habadakla. The halach is that the carbon, that the, all the avoidah, we're going to discuss this extensively in our shir, of the Parah Aduma has to be done in a place which is tahor. And if you brought the carbon, if you did the avoidah Parah Aduma in a place that wasn't inspected that it was tahor, that's called that you brought it in the wrong place. And as the Brisker Rav explains, even though we have no reason to believe that this specific area is tamei, still the halacha is that that isn't good enough. The halacha is that the place that you bring the Parah Aduma, you have to be certain, you have to ascertain, is tahar. And if you didn't do that positive checking, you brought it in the wrong place. Amalei Rav Yochanan, says Rav Yochanan to Rish Lakish, I can't agree with you, because v'loi kol Eretz Yisrael bedukihi. All of Eretz Yisrael is considered tahar, and therefore there should be no reason to make a special check that it's tahar. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, what is pshat in our Mishnah? Chutz Megita, Elan Rabbi Yochanan, kigon sheshachta lefnim michayim shushlayim. As we're going to learn, the shechita of the Parah Aduma is really supposed to take place outside of the walls of Yerushalayim. If somebody brought it inside the walls of Yerushalayim, it's not the place where it's supposed to be brought. And that's what the Mishnah means. And as the Brisker Rav continues to explain, our sugya, beautiful pshat. He says, we've been learning for many dafim the concept of Allah's chutz. What does the concept of Allah's chutz tell us? He says, the concept of Allah's chutz tells us that there's a place where you're supposed to bring the carbon, and if you brought it in the wrong place, as we've been learning, you're over in Aveira. So any time we would think if you brought it in the wrong place, if you also bring it outside of Yerushalayim and you brought it inside of Yerushalayim, it's also the wrong place. And maybe you should be chayif for halos chutz, kamash malon, that you're not. Furthermore, ask the Rishonim, but why? Why, if the Parah Aduma, you didn't do it properly, should it not be considered a carbon, an animal which is able to be a carbon, that the halacha is that an animal which can be a carbon, even if you didn't bring it for the right purpose, you're ready chayei for halacha's chutz. So this animal, this Parah Aduma, if you didn't do it right, should be considered like you brought a carbon in the wrong place. Because in the same concept, like anything that's im olul yardu, you chayei for halacha's chutz. So I saw a number of tirutzim in the Rishonim. One tirutz is that a parah is a nekeva. There's nothing you could do with a carbon, and it's owned by the tzibur. There is no carbon brought by from the tzibur that it's in the nekeva. One tirutz. Another tirutz is that the parah aduma is not kotshei haguf. It's not kotshei mizbeach. It's only kedushas by the kabayis. We're going to learn in tomorrow's shir that an animal that only has kedushas by the kabayis, the din of halos chutz does not apply to it. So again, Rav Yochanan explaining our Mishnah is referring to a situation, you shechted it inside the wall instead of outside the city. Ask the Gemara, as we're learning that the point is that the Mishnah is teaching it, if you brought it, you shechted it, you burnt it, as we'll see in a moment, in the wrong place. That's why you would think that we're chayiv. Why doesn't the Mishnah give us a different example? The Lukma, why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan explain that our Mishnah is referring to a situation? You did bring it outside the wall, as you're supposed to. But, you brought it in a place that wasn't facing the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash. Domer of Adabar Hava, Shachta, even if you brought the Parah Aduma outside of Yerushalayim, but it's not in a place that's facing the opening of the Beis HaMikdash, psula, it's possible. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, v'shachat v'hizo, ma hazasa, the Torah says explicitly, should be done k'neged Pesach, facing the entrance, ashchitasoi has to be k'neged Pesach. So why don't we just give that as example? V'chitema, and if you'll suggest that the reason Rabbi Yochanan didn't offer this explanation, to Loi Makish, that he doesn't hold of this halacha, and that he'll hold, that as long as you did it outside of Yerushalayim, even if it's not in a place facing the entrance, it's fine. For Etmar, that isn't true. Because we learned, Sarfish like in Agra Pesach, why would be the halacha if somebody burnt the Parah Aduma outside of Yerushalayim, but not facing the entrance? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Pasul. Rabbi Yochanan says it's Pasul. Rabbi Yoshiya Makshera. Rabbi Yoshiya says it's fine. And the Gemara explains itself. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Psula, Vesara Fahiza. And as the Rishonim explained, just like the Torah puts together, is Makish, the halacha of Sreif and Hazar. By Hazar, the Torah says it has to be facing the entrance. So too is the halacha by Sreifa. And then we also find that the Torah is makish, shchita to Sreifa. So we go a step further. Just like the Hazar and the Sreifa have to be facing the entrance, so must the shchita. Rabbi Yishyamer says facing the entrance is not essential. It's ksheira. What does the pasuk say, al pirsha yisraif, that after you burn the carbon, you should, after you shech the carbon paradum, you should burn it? To teach us, Makam shepureshesh lamisa sham teisrifasa, which means we know, and we'll discuss this in Masech Techulin in Mitzvah Shem, that after an animal is killed, it's mefarchis. It still has convulsions. It still moves around. And the pasuk is teaching us that if you shechted it in one spot and then it jumped to another spot, you don't have to bring it back to its original place, says the Brayshia, to do the sreifa. But where it expires, that's where it can be burnt. But back to our kasha. Rabbi Yochanan is clearly teaching us that it's not just enough to do the shechita and the sreifa outside of Yerushalayim, but they must be done facing the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash. So why when Rabbi Yochanan wanted to explain the Mishnah and say that what is the case of the Mishnah that the Parah Aduma was done in the wrong place? Did he say it means that it was burnt inside Yerushalayim? He could have said a different example. It was burnt outside of Yerushalayim, but not facing the entrance. Why do you give an example of inside versus outside? Answers the Gemara. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. Amri, Lama Bai Kama, certainly, Lama Bai Chutz L'Chayma, the Ruchuke Ruchayka. Rabbi Yochanan is teaching us the following. Certainly, that if somebody burnt the Paraduma, or Shecht the Paraduma, outside the wall, in the wrong place, that he's certainly doing the wrong thing. Ela Fnim, Menachayma, but let's say somebody burns or shechs the Paraduma inside Yerushalayim, in the wrong place. It is the wrong place. I would think the Kruvei Krava, what he isn't doing isn't so bad. Because what is he doing? Let's think about what he's doing. He's only getting closer to the Beis HaMikdash. So I think if somebody's bringing the Paraduma closer to the Beis HaMikdash, we shouldn't think that he did anything wrong. And therefore we would think, perhaps, Ve'ema Tiskasher, that it should be fine. Kamash Malan, you have to do it what the Torah wants. The Torah wants it outside the walls of Yerushalayim, facing the entrance. Anywhere else, whether it's outside, not facing the entrance, or even inside, so much closer to the Beis HaMikdash, you didn't do it in the right place, and it's not kosher. But, also what's relevant to our sugya, for the din of Allah's chutz, you won't be chayif Allah's chutz. So if you go back to the beginning of the Gemara, Reb Shlokish said, what was the definition of chutz legita? Outside of the place where it should have been brought. What is the place it should have been brought? The place that we know is tahor. And again, as the Achrayim explained, the Mikdash David says this word. When we say that the Paraduma has to be brought on a place that's tahor, he says it's not to be understood that the person who's bringing the Paraduma has to make sure part of the procedure is to check that the place is tahor. It's a definition of the place. It's not just the Chiyuv Gavra. It's not just my obligation that if I'm bringing the Paraduma, I should check that it's tahor. The place where it's brought has to be a place that's tahor. That is the only place. Rabbi Yochanan disagreed, because Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, V'loi kol Eretz Yisrael, bedukihi. All of Eretz Yisrael is beduka. There's no need to go through this bedika. Ask them, what is the basis of their machlokes? And we begin a beautiful sugya. B'maika mifgi. Mar Sover, Reish Lakish is of the opinion, you're in Mabel Eretz Yisrael. There was a Mabel in Eretz Yisrael. And since there was a Mabel in Eretz Yisrael, everybody in Eretz Yisrael perished and was buried underground. So every spot in Eretz Yisrael, we need to be concerned that there's a mace there. And therefore, Reish Lakish says we have to check. Mar Sover, whereas Rabbi Yochanan holds, Lo Yored. There was no Mabel in Eretz Yisrael. And since there was no Mabel in Eretz Yisrael, we need not check every spot of Eretz Yisrael, because there's no reason to believe that there was. However, as we're going to learn in our shir, even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that the people of Eretz Yisrael perished. They just didn't have such a horrible death as the rest of the world that was drowned by the Mea Mabel. What's the raya? A gaval de garaya. Because if Rabbi Yochanan says that everybody in Eretz Yisrael was saved, so what's special about Noach? All the people in Eretz Yisrael were saved. Furthermore, why did Noach have to build a teva? He should have just gone to Eretz Yisrael. It must be that Rabbi Yochanan, as we're going to see, agrees that they perished. They just didn't perish the same way. Furthermore, as the Mefarshim, we know that the Gemara says that how do we have Chamei Tveria? Where did the Chamei Tveria in Eretz Yisrael come from? It was left over from the Mabel. Rabbi Yochanan says there was no Mabel in Eretz Yisrael. So some Mefarshim say that Bayonos, that all the springs opened up, that did everybody agrees happened at Yisrael, and that's where Chamei Tveria come from. Others say that indeed Chamei Tveria has nothing to do with the Mabel, but it's an example of what happened because of the Mabel. Furthermore, the Gra asks, Reish Lakish is concerned that the Mabel came to Yisrael, and there are people buried underground who are Metame. Ask the Gra, but those people are certainly Bnei Noach. That's the best example of people who are Bnei Noach. And Bnei Noach, Goyim, aren't Metame. So what's the issue that they're there underground? Answers the Gra, this Tumah, which is called Tumah Ritzutza, that if somebody's buried underground, that the Tumah goes up that spat, that is the highest level of Tumah, very Bechidish, and even is by Goyim. Very interesting pshat that the Gra gives in explaining the machloikus of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, if the Mabul did or didn't come to Eretz Yisrael. It's a fantastic shot. He says that certainly the people in Eretz Yisrael did a virus like the rest of the world. Just what? Says the Gra. The Gra says that the Machloikis of Reyochan and Rish Lakish is that in future generations, Eretz Yisrael we know is the holiest place in the world. Eretz Yisrael is the place where the Beis HaMikdash stood. Eretz Yisrael is the place where we had the Tzadikim and Tzadikas of all the generations. Rabbi Yochanan holds that the schus of the future generations was what saved Eretz Yisrael. Usually we think of schus of saving us. Here we see schus of the future generations saving previous generations, and Rish Lakish doesn't agree to that. Says the Gemara, this machloikis, if there was or there wasn't a mabul in Eretz Yisrael, is the machloikis how to learn a pasuk in Yecheskel. Aram Nachman by Yitzchak, v'shnei mikra echadarsh. They're both explaining the same pasuk. The pasuk says, Ben Omer, Ben Adam, Emlo, say, Teretz Yisrael, at Eretz lo mitara, he, you are not tar, he lagishuma b'yom zam, lagishuma b'yom zam. So this is the way they're going to explain the pasuk. Rav Yochanan Sama, at Muik Mitamakra, the pasuk is a rhetorical question. Eretz Yisrael, the Navi saint at Yisrael, Miloy Matara that, aren't you tar? Klum yardo lech gisham b'yayim zam? You were saved from the Mabul, therefore you are tar. Rish Lakish suffer, whereas Rish Lakish explains the pasuk, kapashte, eretz lo mitara at, you're not tar, because milo yardo lech gisham b'yayim zam, weren't you a country like the rest of the world where the Mabul fell and people are buried underground? There's a very big machlokes between the tzaddikim and us in a halacha of the Parah Adumah. We know, and we said it in today's shiur already, that all of the procedures of the Parah Adumah have to be done by people who are tahar. But we, in learning pshat and a pasuk, hold that a kohen who was a tful yoim, who went to the mikveh today, came Tommy and went to the mikveh today, but did not yet have Harav Shemesh to do the Avodah. He's tar enough to do the Avodah. Tzadikim disagreed. Tzadikim said he has to be completely tar. So to show that the Tzadikim were wrong, they purposely used the Kayin, who was a Tful Yoyim, to do the Paraduma. Some say that they would have people touch him, and everybody's considered Tommy, and they would make the Kayin Tommy that he has to go to the mikveh. Others I saw said they would put a sheretz on the kohen doing the avodah and certainly became tamei and then go to the mikvah. And before he had Erev Shemesh, he should be the kohen doing the avodah, the Parah Adumah. However, Chazal now had a very big concern. Chazal were concerned that since we know, as we said, that the Parah Adumah has to be done with Tahara, and on the other hand, now we're taking this kohen and making him tamei, just the opposite. So they were very careful that everything else involved in the Parah Adumah should be done by people who were extremely, extremely tahor. So what did they do? Says the Gemara. Chatzeres ha'i Yerushalayim. There were such places in Yerushalayim that were benuyas el ha'sela, that the ground was all stone. And since the ground was all stone, it was highly unlikely that anybody was buried under that stone. Because how did the stone get there? V'tachtein ho. However, the halacha is that even if somebody's buried, even if a mace is there, if there's an empty space of a tefach between the mace and the ground above him, or the cover above him, it doesn't go further. So they purposely had ground that was made out of stone, which limited the likelihood of a mace, and they left the tefach empty, and they kever at time, because they're concerned that in this space, there should be no kever. Continues the Braisa. Umevim noshimu boris. They brought pregnant women that they should have their children, the yaldos, on that place. So these children were never exposed to any tumah. Why? So the Miri explains. The tumah that their mother might have been tamei, that would be tumah space astarim. The fact that the fetus was in the mother that was tamei doesn't affect the fetus. I asked the Rishonim that the mother might have had a different tumma, not tumma smeis, and the children, she's a nida, a woman comes a nida, yoledes, So the Rishonim say, we do the best we can. But again, we took these children, unbelievable piece of Gemara here. These children were limited to living in these spots that were tumor-free. The oldest Megalash Shabbanayim Lepara, and these children were raised because they will be the children that will do the avoided the paradumas, one of the avoiders. Now, the child grows up. And most Rishonim say that he can't be above 7 or 8. Why? Because once the child is that over that age, he's old enough to become tummy with Tumas Keri. He has an emission. So he's tummy. And again, we're trying to use people who are as tall as possible. So the child remains that young. The Yoldois, Omegadlisha Menein Lepara, Omevim Shvar Magad Medalsin. So you have this child who's being raised in perfect Tahara, unbelievable. But now, what's going to be this child's job? To go to the Shiloyach, from where they got the Mayim Chayim, to use to mix the Paraduma ash with. So how's he going to travel? So they used to put him on top of an axe, and they put a door on top of that axe. By putting the door on top of that axe, if there was any tumma along the road that he's traveling from this spot to the river, there would be mechitza, the door would be a mechitza between him and the tumma. So the Rishonim point out that this would only be effective if we hold that an oil zoruk shmei oil, that a moving oil is still considered a mechitza. So even though it's traveling, it doesn't make a difference. However, Mefarshim asks, there's an opinion that holds that oil zarek lo shmei oil. So then what are we accomplishing with this door? So those Rishonim explain that they brought an axe, which was very big, and very wide. A balchai, a living thing, never becomes tamei. And the child sat completely on top of the axe. And the axe served as a mechitza between the floor and the tumah. Unbelievable. Furthermore, the Mefarshim explained, why did they use a door? Why didn't they just use a plain piece of wood? So again, the Mefarshim explained, we want to do it in a way that represents the most tahara. A door is a pshuti kliyetz. A door is something that's going to be connected to the ground. It's mechubal karka. These are perfect examples of this is a perfect example of something that's not mekabel tumah, which we wanted to use such a type of an item to be a mechitza. Furthermore, they say that it could well be, going back to the question that we discussed a moment ago, that even according to the Manda Omer, that oil zoruk, loishmei oil, a door maybe is such a perfect oil, it's so impervious to tumah that it would be a mechitza. The tenaikus yoshvel gabeim, the children slat on top of this door. The kaisa shall even be yadon. They took stone cups, again, because stone cups are not mekabel tuma. Umalu v'yoshven bekaimam. And they went, and they filled up the water in those cups. Interesting, machlokes rishonim. If these children could be the ones that poured the water into the cup with the ash. Some say that they were, because the pouring of the water is not an avoida, that you need a kohen gadol. Others say that then they gave it over to the kohen, because as much as you could do, as we said earlier, what you can't, you can't. But what's the point? The point here is that if Rish Yochanan is correct, says Rish Lakish to him, that there's no tumah in Eretz Yisrael, so we have to go through this whole procedure. There's no tumah anyway. Answers the Gemara, on Rafun of Reid of Yeshua, to defend Rabbi Yochanan's Pshat, Malos Meparo. As we just explained before, they were so concerned about the Paraduma being done, but Tahara, they went the extra mile. Continues the Gemara. Eser Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Pamechot, Motsu at Somas Belishkos Dira Eitzim. They once found bones in the place where they kept the wood for the base of Migdosh, or Bigzil Ligzer Tomel Yushlaim. So they wanted to proclaim that all of Yushlaim was Tomei. Omer Rabbi Shua Raglov, so Rabbi Shua got up and said, Vama, loy bush of Echlimu lanu, wouldn't it be a terrible disgrace, Shenigza Tomel Eretz Avisenu, that we should say that at Israel, that Yushlaim was Tomei? Aye, Mose Mabel, if you're worried, you should be worried about the Mabel, the people who died in the Mabel. I am Mason Nebuchadnezzar. about the people that were slaughtered by the time of Nechonetzer in Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, that Rabbi Yochanan is assuming, the Midakam Ahachi, since Rabbi Yeshua made such a statement, Lav Lememra, what he was saying is, just like we don't have to worry about the Mabel people, just like we don't have to worry about the Nebuchadnezzar people, we don't have to worry about this. Why did you have to worry? Because the Loi Hava. So isn't that a riot to Rabbi Yochanan who says that they didn't exist in Eretz Yisrael? Says the Gemara, that isn't Pshat. Udo Tamech, Haruginam Nebuchadnezzar, Hachanam de Loi Hava. Could you have a Havamina that there weren't people that were killed in the time of Nebuchadnezzar in Yerushalayim? Certainly there were. What must have Yeshua meant? Havu, there were such people. Upanina, but they cleared it out. Hachanami, maybe what he meant was that there were Ma'isei Mebel, but Paninu, they were cleared out. So we don't have a Raya from Rabbi Yeshua that there were never Ma'isei Mebel. Ask the Gemara, if we're going to say that that's what Rabbi Yeshua meant, for if not, Ha'ifni. So if we say that Yerushalayim was cleared out, all of Eretz Yisrael was cleared out. So again, Rish Lakish is difficult to understand. He was saying that it was cleared out. Why is Rish Lakish concerned? Answers the Gemara. Now the Ifni Yerushalayim. Maybe Yerushalayim was cleared out, but Kul Eretz Yisrael LaYifni, and therefore Rish Lakish could hold that Eretz Yisrael may have these people who are Tamei. Ikadami, but a different version of this dialogue, where instead of it being a Kasha from Rabbi Yochanan to Rish Lakish, it's a Kasha from Rish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan. Eisa Rish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan, I am Eisa Midbar. Nebuchadnezzar was saying, Rabbi Yeshua was saying, where are people from the Mabel? I am Eisa Nebuchadnezzar. Where are people from the time of Nebuchadnezzar? My love, wasn't Rabbi Yeshua saying, Midah Havahad, just like certainly there were people buried there from the time of Nebuchadnezzar, Hani Nami Hava, certainly there are people also there from the time of the Mabel. So we do see that there were people there from the time of the Mabel. So how do you, Rabbi Yochanan, say nobody was there from the time of the Mabel? Says the Gemara, that doesn't mean anything. Rabbi Yochanan could say, there were certainly people there from the time that the Nebuchadnezzar slaughtered the Jews, but not necessarily anybody from the time of the Mabel, because Eretz Yisrael was saved, didn't have the Mabel. Ask the Gemara, Eisvei, so Eisvei Rish Lakish asks another question. The Pasuk says, Parshas Noach, Mechol Asher B'Charova Meisu, everybody on dry land perished. Says Rish Lakish, Bishlam L'Dadi Damina Yor Mabel Eretz Yisrael, according to my opinion that there was a Mabel Eretz Yisrael, Shemocha Meisu, that's Pshat in the Pasuk. Everybody died, even the people in Eretz Yisrael. El L'Dach, but according to you, it's not true. The people in Eretz Yisrael were saved. Amai Meisu, how would answer the Gemara Mishnah Havla, which means as follows. And we said this at the beginning of the Shir. Even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that the people in Eretz Yisrael perished. Just there was a different reason that they died. The people in the rest of the world, the whole world got turned over, and they got turned over with them. And Eretz Yisrael, there was such extreme heat in the rest of the world that caused all the people in Eretz Yisrael to die. But since they died that way, they didn't go underground. They were buried. And if the people died, we know where they're buried. As Rav Chisda said, the people in the world did Aveir B'Royskin with the Shechva Zera, and that's why B'Royskin, the Dainu, that's how they got killed. The Ksiv Hacha, the Pasuk says here, V'Yishoichu Amayim, ultimately the water cooled off after Mabel. The Ksiv Hassam in the Megillah, the Chamas HaMelech Shechacha, the king's anger cooled off. Ikad Amri, but a different version of this dialogue, is Eser Rav Yochanan and Shlokish. Rav Yochanan asked the following question. The Pasuk says, everything on dry land died. Says Rabbi Yochanan, Bishlam L'Di, says Rabbi Yochanan, according to my opinion, that mean a lo yard Mabel Eretz Yisrael, that there was no Mabel in Eretz Yisrael. Shemachi have a charova. That's why we could find dry land in Eretz Yisrael. Dry land in the world. Where? In Eretz Yisrael. El Lidach, says Rabbi Yochanan to Rish Lakish, that everywhere there was a Mabel. So where's the charova? Where's the dry land? Answers Rish Lakish, what Charova means, Charova Shais Mikara. It doesn't mean that now it's dry. It was originally dry. Vamai Karle Charova. So what's the point? If it's not dry now, what's the difference that it was at the beginning? Says Rish Lakish, because what we're alluding to is what Rav Chisda taught us. Rav Chisda, Dom Rav Chisda, B'dor HaMaber, Lo Nigzu Gzera Dogim Shebiyam. There was no Gzera on the fish in the sea. Shnemar, Mechol Asher B'Charova Meisu, only what was on the land perished, v'loy dagim shebiyam. Why not dagim shebiyam? Because they didn't do any avera. So I saw the Mefarshim say, beautiful pshat, Mefarshim say that a fish doesn't have a yetzahara, it's an animal, it's not a person. Animals don't have a yetzahara. So why do we find that this Gemara teaches us that the animals acted improperly and the fish didn't? So the Mefarshim say we are influenced by our environment. The fish are in a different environment than the people. The people did averus, but the fish are in the sea, so they don't get influenced. The animals, they taka don't have a yetzahara, but they were in the same place as the people where you are influences you how to act. Furthermore, Mefarshim asked, if that is the case, that the fish didn't sin, and that's why they were saved, so then the pasuk says that when Noach came out of the teva, Hashem said you could eat meat. Because the pasuk says, Odom behemoth tashia Hashem. Animals were spared because of the person. So we should be allowed to eat meat, but we should be allowed to eat fish. The fish didn't need Noach. So Mefarshim explained that the fish, not all the water of the world was saved. Only the Atlantic Ocean. And all of the fish in the world swam to the Atlantic Ocean. What was their schus that they could get from wherever they were to the Atlantic Ocean? Schus of Noach. So we could eat fish because fish were also had a Yeshua because of Noach. And this is the basis for the famous minig. The Chassidus Yisroel discussed this at great length, that in a Sudas Mitzvah, particularly on Shabbos, one is supposed to eat fish. Why? As the Mefarshim explained, we know that there is no fire of Gehenim. The Gehenim is closed down on Shabbos. Fish are separated from Averis, as our Gemara says. So Shabbos is a time to eat fish. Furthermore, again, I'm not suggesting that anybody has to do this, but there are people that specifically eat the eye of the fish. Why the eye of the fish? Because as our Gemara is saying, what makes fish great? Because they didn't do the Avera. The Gemara says that how does a person begin to do an Avera? Eye and Roy, his eye sees. The fish that didn't do that, so the eye of the fish has a special power. Just to say, the Chassidus Yisroel say that the Baal Shem lived in the city in Ukraine, Mezhbish. Why did he choose to live in that city? He chose to live in that city because that city was near a lake where there was always fish available. He said he wants to live in a place where he could always eat fish. The Beis Aaron says that the Gemara mentions different experiences that a person have, that if a person has such an experience, he needs to be concerned. Why did this happen? He says, if a person doesn't have fish for Shabbos, it's something to be concerned about. Continues the Gemara. Bishlama, continues the Gemara, Leman Dama Lo Yar Ma'abal Et Yisrael, according to Man Dama, there was no Ma'abal Et Yisrael, Hanu the Koi Rima Hasam. The Rima is a huge animal that could have never fit into the teva. But if there was no Ma'abal Et Yisrael, the Rima survived that way. And as the Mefarshim go on to explain, even though we just learned a moment ago, there was extreme heat in Eretz Yisrael, which caused all the people in Eretz Yisrael to die, the Rima was strong enough to withstand the heat. Wasn't strong enough to withstand the Mabel, but strong enough to withstand the heat. Elaman the Amar, Yarad, that there was a Mabel even in Eretz Yisrael, Rima Hechakai, how could the Rima survive? Amar Abyanai, Goryo Sechnisa B'teva. They put the young ones in the teva that weren't so big. Ask the Gemara, Vam Rabba B'vchana, L'di Chazi, Aruzila de Rima Batsyayma. I saw a young Rima, a day old, the Hava Kahar Tavar, and it was as large as Tavar. So how could you say that a young one would fit into the Tavar? How large is Har Tavar, says the Gemara? Kama Hava Abin Parse, it's 40 parsa big. Mashcha de Tzavari, its neck alone is Tlosi parsa, it's 3 parsa. Mirvasa de Reisha parsa, opalga, the square of its head is a parsa and a half big. Rama kava, v'socha yardana, if the Rima goes into the ocean, it gets completely dried up. So how can we say that this young Rima was put into the teva? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yochanan, Rosh Hechnis L'teva. to just put its head to the teva. Ask the Gemara, then we just learned from Imam Abbas, the Reisha Parasapalga, the head alone is a Parasapalga big, so how could it fit into the teva? Says the Gemara, Rosh Choyt Moif Nisla Teva. They put just its nose into the teva. Says the Gemara, why would Rabbi Yochanan say this teretz? Rabbi Yochanan holds lo yor mabel et Yisrael. So according to him, the rimu is an et Yisrael. Answers the Gemara, ledivresh lakish, comma. He holds that the rimu is an et Yisrael. Yuresh lakish holds that there was a mabel in et Yisrael. How is the rimu saved? This way. Ask the Gemara, vokasagi teva, but the teva keeps on moving. So if its nose is in the teva, how won't it fall out? Answers the Gemara, Amarish Lakish, kind of kashu b'teva. They tied its horns to the teva that as the teva traveled, it shouldn't fall out. There's a gval de gavart in this Gemara. This whole Gemara obviously is not poshup shat. There's a beautiful vart from Ramey Shapiro in explaining this Gemara. He says, the Gemara is teaching us is that we know what is the teva. What does the word teva mean? Besides that it means the teva. It means the word. Teva means a word. What word? What letters? The words of Torah. And the Gemara is teaching us as follows. What is the right thing to do? Gurias, when we have young children, Hechnisa b'teva, we're supposed to put our young children, what are we supposed to do with our young children? We're supposed to teach them the teva. We're supposed to teach them the letters and the words of the Torah. But sometimes, it doesn't work. So the Gemara says, if that doesn't work, at least put the head into the teva. But that time sometimes doesn't work either. So the Gemara says, if the head doesn't work, put the nose to the Torah. What's the lesson? And if that doesn't work, tie yourself to the Torah. The Gemara is saying that of course the best thing is to put yourself completely in the Torah. But not everybody's successful, says Ramey Shapiro, to be completely immersed in Torah. He doesn't understand Torah. He doesn't have time for Torah. But everybody has to be tied to the Torah. What did they do with the Rima? Says the Gemara. Kashra l'teva. They tied it to the teva. So even if you're a person that doesn't learn, can learn, everybody has to be connected to Lomdei Torah, to yeshivas, which are the future of Klal Yisrael. Ask the Gemara. Vamav Chizda. Actually, Dara Medbol, Baraiskan Kilkalu, we said before that they did Avei with Shikva Zera, or Baraiskan Nidainu. And that's why the water with which they were killed was boiling hot. So how could the Rima be outside the Teva and just tied to the Teva and not perish from the extreme heat? Ask the Gemara, Ula Tameich, once we think about this question, Teva Hechasagya, if there's such terrible heat, how did the Teva not just melt? Void. We know that Oig Melech HaBoshen was tied to the Teva. But if the water was boiling hot, how did he survive? El Neis Godel Nasa Lahem. There was a tremendous Neis. Shinitzana B'tzid Teva. Not only was the Teva saved, but all the water around the Teva remained cold. And therefore the Rima could survive, and the Teva didn't fall apart, and Oig was able to be tied to the teva. Mefarshim say with this you could ask a gavaldig, answer a gavaldig akasha. It was always bothering me. If Oig wasn't in the teva, but he was standing near the teva, and he was saved, so why did Noach have to send the birds to see what happened? He should have just asked Oig. He should have just opened up the window and asked Oig, what's going on? The answer is, because the water around the teva was different than the rest of the world. And that's where Oig was. So Oig couldn't tell Noach what was going on in the rest of the world. Ask the Gemara, Reish Lakish nen namedi yard mabel et Yisrael. According to Reish Lakish, that indeed the mabel came to et Yisrael, v'loy posh, but the people who perished in et Yisrael didn't remain there. Dam Reish Lakish, lama nikra shemoy mitzula, why is bavel called mitzula? Shekam masi mabel et stal l'shan. They all travel down to bavel. V'rav yoichan amal lama nikra shemoy shinar. Why is Bavel called Shinner? Shekom Masim Mabel Nineru Sham. Answers the Gemara Yashtalayibiku. Yes, they all rolled to Bavel, but some according to Reish Lakish must have remained. Amar Avuah Lama Nikra Shma Shinner. Why is Bavel called Shinar Sheminaris Ishrael? The people there ultimately lose their wealth. Ask the Gemara, the kochas in Dava. We do see wealthy people there. Answer the Gemara, Tlos Dar Lamashki. People are wealthy, but it doesn't remain for more than three generations. Amar Bami, Kol Oichem Afrish Abovel, whoever eats from the dust Abovel, Ki Oichem Basar Avoysov. Why? Because all of the bones and parts of the bodies ended up, as we just learned, Abovel. Tanya Nami Hochi, Kol Oichem Afrish Abovel, Ki Oichem Basar Avoysov, Yishayim Kiloch Lishkotzim Ramoshim. Because some Lishkotzim Ramoshim perished in the Mabel time, and all ended up in the slow-laying area above all. Therefore, you have to avoid eating from the dust above all. And that's why, the Farshim say, there were Geyser Tumah, that the special Tumah for in Eretz Amim, in Bavel, because of all these Tumah that was in Eretz Amim. And that's what our Loch is, according to the Shulchan Aruch, that even nowadays, the Shulchan Aruch says, a Kohen shouldn't leave Eretz Yisrael, because all the Chutz Laretz has so much more Tumah than Eretz Yisrael. However, most Achroinim hold that since nowadays in Eretz Yisrael we can't be sure of the status of Tahara, because in Eretz Yisrael for so many generations, so many years, it wasn't under Jewish control and they weren't careful about Tumat Tahara, so therefore that rule doesn't necessarily still apply.